Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, we are talking with Dale Curtis of Joshua Tree Technologies. Joshua Tree Technologies is headquartered in Castledale, Utah, and as per their website, Joshua Tree Technologies is an elite research and development team. Services include custom manufacturing, contract assembly, and PCB assembly and design, electrical engineering, software, firmware engineering, design engineering, and more. Welcome, Dale, and we're glad to have you on the show with us today. We're excited to talk to you about Joshua Tree Technologies.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So before we delve into talking about Joshua Tree, let's talk about you a little bit and get to know you. Perhaps you could share with us two or three things that you would say that you are geeky about here in Southeast Utah.
Well, you know, this is my hometown, Castledale, Utah. But from the start, I knew that I was not going to be a coal miner. I was not going to be a rancher or any of the kind of things they did here. I was destined to be an engineer, especially a designer. So I guess the geeky thing about me is that I don't know how to turn off being a designer. I might be out exploring a canyon or riding a four-wheeler or doing any of the other things we like to do in these rural areas. But in the back of my mind, I'm almost always designing something. It might be a product or a circuit or an organization or just something. I always joke that I'll never be able to retire because if I retreated to a rocking chair, pretty soon I'd be designing a new rocking chair. And that's just the truth. The geeky part of me is I don't know how to turn it off. I'm always designing something.
So it sounds like the whole of Southeast Utah is your research and development playground. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I grew up here. I went away and had a career and did a lot of really interesting things, but I found a way. I always wanted to, and I found a way to come back home and still do what I do and have an occupation and do meaningful things, I think, for myself and hopefully for the community as well. I'd very much like to raise a foundation of technology in this area. And frankly, I'll tell you why. You know, I came from Emory County High School and I always wanted to live here. And I knew that I would have to move away and I'd have to live in big cities. And for me, having reached a place where maybe I can do something about it in a small way, I want to make it possible that some nerdy, geeky, brainiac kid from Emory High School doesn't necessarily have to go live in a big city to do what he's cut out to do, or she.
That's awesome to hear. And I know a little bit about your background. Do you want to maybe share a little bit how you kind of came full circle and you're back here in Emory County doing Joshua Tree Technologies? And then we can kind of delve into the Joshua Tree a little bit.
Sure. You know, I grew up and I had different interests, but I was always destined to be in technology just because of the things I was best at and the things I was interested in. I was also a musician and frankly, like a lot of technical people are, especially, you know, there seems to be a real tie between math and music for whatever reason. But I went off and learned my degrees in electrical engineering. And I learned that because I knew I could make musical instruments and amplifiers and all the things that go into music with that. I also knew, frankly, that I was not talented enough to be a professional musician. So that was off the table. But I knew I could participate in that business. And I loved my synthesizers and my electronic keyboards and all those kind of things. So I went to school and I took every class I could possibly relate to music in engineering at the University of Utah. Then I had what I call a common sense attack and I went into aerospace. So I completely forgot music when I left college. And I did that for a certain number of years and I just had to be in music. And so I found my way back. And long story short, within a few years, my career went very fast, and I was vice president and then the senior vice president of research and development at Fender Musical Instruments, which was a pretty cool gig. You know, if you're a music nut and you're an engineer, I don't think you can do much better than that. And I did that for the better part of 20 years, and one day I realized that even if it was a guitar or an amplifier or something musical, they'd kind of become widgets to me. You know, I'd done so much of it that some of that music bug in me had been burned burned out, I guess. And I started remembering that I really wanted to live in this area, and I really wanted to maybe do something for this area if I could. And I had some strong family ties that, and reasons that I kind of needed to be back here to take care of some older people in my family, et cetera. And one day I just decided to do it. Stupidest career move of all time. I went from senior vice president in the biggest music company in the country to a consultant wondering what I was going to do for a living. And I started the company that ultimately became Joshua Tree, although there's some complexities along the way. And I worked with some local companies and consulted for some other companies. And Joshua Tree Technologies was born right here in Castledale. It's a very unique kind of a company for this area, but I've never had a day when I didn't have plenty to do, and for 11 years now.
So let's talk a little bit more about Joshua Tree Technologies. What goes on there? And maybe you can give kind of a overview of activities and things you do. And for example, talk even a little bit about the technical lingo. For example, what is PCB assembly? Things like that, if you'd want to just elaborate a little bit on Joshua Tree.
Yeah, absolutely. We really do two different things here. And for many years, our primary focus was research and development. And what that really means is product development. We were product developers, and we developed many, many products for different companies in different industries. We've done a lot of products for the energy and industrial industry, industrial companies, and we've done products for the medical industry and for audio. So we've done a lot of products for various clients, and those are start to finish products from an idea to the factory. So we're a full service product development firm. And that's still our core, and that's what we're, I think, really good at. And then our second business is we have an assembly business. And this is a new business for us. It's a contract manufacturing business. And so we manufacture products. A lot of these are products we've designed. So we're working for some of the same clients. We've designed a product, and then we've realized that we can manufacture it more effectively and efficiently than someplace else they might choose to go. And so we're manufacturing these products. And in particular, we do a lot of circuit board assembly, which is just putting electronic components on circuit boards. And PCB is a printed circuit board. So that's all that is. So we have a fully automated production line here where we can put all the parts on circuit boards in a very automated fashion. And then we also have people that have been trained for years now where we can do all kinds of hand assembly as well. And so there's a lot of products that can't be automated very easily, and we can manufacture those kind of products. And doing it here in Castledale, we can actually do it very cost effectively compared to companies in big cities where rents and utilities and things of that nature get very expensive. And so we've got a little niche here. We're a very small factory at this point, but we are growing, and we've been manufacturing for about a year and a half. And we're starting to see some significant business doing A, circuit board assemblies, but also B, finished product. And so that's the gist of it. You know, that's what we do here. And we're the only people like us, of course, for a very long distance in any direction doing this kind of work.
Well, how many employees do you have with the company currently?
Our engineering business is largely a virtual business, meaning we basically run a business on Skype and Dropbox, or the equivalents of it. Those applications. And so we have people who are everywhere. And these people who are very experienced engineers, mostly they're ex-employees of mine, and they're doing contracting for us. And so those people are wherever they are. They work flexible schedules. They work in their own homes, their own offices. And, you know, I manage all those projects from here in Castledale. And then here in Castledale, we also have, you know, a few people that sort of come and go in this area, and also a technician. So by and large, that business is headquartered here, but it's a virtual business that's scattered all over the place. And that's actually one of the reasons I started the manufacturing business. I knew I couldn't find a large number of proficient design engineers in Castledale, Utah, or in the areas around here. If there is an engineer here, they're probably working for me. They've probably done work for me. And that's true of several people who are in this area. But in manufacturing, I knew that I could train people, because it doesn't require, you know, 6 years of college or whatever to learn how to manufacture a product, and or even to run the automation equipment and do all the things that go along with that. And so, you know, I have a good electronics technician here who kind of runs things from a technical perspective. And we've got five or six assemblers at this point that are manufacturing products for us. And so, you know, we're starting to create some jobs in this area. And one of the things I'm most proud about, I guess, changing the subject a little bit, is, you know, I worked for 10 years with a local company here, and basically started a whole new division for them and a whole new business, developed products for them, marketed them, manufactured them. And that business has grown up nicely, and there's about 20 new jobs at that company that have come from those efforts. And so we have made a difference in this area. It's not all within JTT itself, but we have created a pretty good number of jobs around here. And for me, that's kind of something that makes me feel good when I'm trying to go to sleep at nights, I guess.
You know, honestly, just hearing that just makes me think that Joshua Tree Technologies is the epitome of a high-tech company that relies on outsourced information and expertise from others, and that they can live and work anywhere and send in their work to you. And, you know, you don't actually need to have a huge factory location that everybody goes there and works 9 to 5.
Yeah, that's right. And to give you some idea, we had, at a while ago, and we had 25 different contractors in different areas, all working on projects, some of them full-time and some of them very much as needed, a few hours here, a few hours there. But 25 different contributing to product design, and that's really cool for me. But also what's cool is, you know, there are real R&D people doing R&D work in Carbon County and in Emery County, Utah, as a result of what we've done. And some of them work for us and some of them work for other companies, but it's the beginning of something. I'd like to think it's a foundation. We have people met two different factories manufacturing electronic products now, JTT and the company that I'd worked with, and people who understand technology and people actually doing electronic engineering. And, you know, to me, that's pretty neat. Hopefully, like I said before, some nerdy brainiac from Carbon Emery High School might be able to have a career here someday, just as I'd always wanted to.
So you alluded to, you know, some of the things that you do, some of the things that are possible with your employees and your contractors. Who are your primary customers, and perhaps where can some of your products and services be seen, or who's utilized them recently?
Well, on product development point of view, we don't talk much about our clients because it's all, you know, we're developing their next products and those are things that are pretty confidential. So we don't talk much about it. But what I can say is you could see our work in different industries and in different places, but none of it has our name on it because we've developed these products for another company and it's branded for them. And so we've done a lot of work in IoT over the last couple of years, which is very modern and cutting edge kind of work. And that work appears in some power systems in industrial applications. And on the other end of the spectrum, we've done audio engineering, electronics that go into products for guitar players and music studios and that sort of thing, again, with somebody else's name on it. But we're an interesting blend of very high tech, you know, software, big software development systems, web-based software, IoT systems, going back to pure analog design, which is something a lot of people aren't focusing on anymore, but is still very needed. And so we've got a wide breadth, and we're in a lot of products that you would never know came from us. In production, it's kind of the same thing. Maybe we developed we manufactured the product, but we put a label on it that has somebody else's brand name, and or maybe we just put the circuit board inside. But everything we do is, you know, we have very little that has our brand name on it that is out in the world. And so we're very much behind the scenes.
So without mentioning products or anything, would you be comfortable name dropping a few companies that maybe you've done work for, or is that not something you'd like to do?
Well, the local companies that people in this area might have heard of that we've worked for, we've done a lot of work with Intermountain Electronics in Price. They now have a division that develops and manufactures components that go into power systems for mining or for energy systems. And we're very much a big part of that. In fact, that's a division that I started for them about 10 years ago. And so that's kind of our big local place that we've done a lot of work for locally, people would have heard of. We've also done some consulting work with Dustless Technologies and Loveless Ash, which are also local companies. And then we've worked for some other companies, but we tend to, by choice, work with smaller companies. A lot of them are startups, companies that don't already have their own R&D resources. And although we've flirted with working with some of the big companies, it's not really our cup of tea, and it's not really something I'm interested in. I've been in big industry, and I've learned that I prefer working in a more human way than rather than a bureaucratic way. So I prefer working for some of the smaller companies that are still getting going or are just not so big that they have big R&D departments or factories of their own.
Looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
I want to kind of take a break from talking about Joshua Tree a little bit and get to know you a little bit more. So I'd like to play a little kind of trivia game with you that we call Geek Your Game Over. And the way that the game is played is I'll give you a topic and then you'll answer that by saying you're geeky about it if you enjoy it or you like it. And it's your game over if you don't like it or haven't heard of it. And you're definitely welcome to elaborate on your answers if you like. All right. So first thing, board games.
Oh, used to, but not anymore. So that's a game over.
Star Trek.
Again, used to. I guess that's geeky still. I still like those movies. And I like the old series.
Dungeons and Dragons.
When I was a teenager, but now that's a definite game over.
Basketball.
I am a basketball freak. You know how, if you've ever watched Cheers, you know how Norm, you could go into any bar and everyone there will say, Norm, they all know him. I played basketball so much myself that I could go into any local gym and everyone would know him. So it was kind of like Norm going into a bar. I love basketball. I'm too old to really play it anymore, which just breaks my heart. But I am absolutely a 10 out of 10 geek for basketball.
Hiking.
I like hiking. I don't do as much as I'd like. I guess I'd say I have to be geeky about
Pokemon.
Hate Pokemon. My kids were so addicted to Pokemon when they were younger that we could not escape Pokemon. I hate Pokemon and all the things that are similar to it because, again, they were so into all those things that it just drove us crazy as parents. And so now I'd be happy if I never heard the word Pokemon again.
Wow. Passionate in the opposite direction there. Video games.
I guess I'm okay with video games, kind of either way. I wouldn't say geeky or game over in the middle on that.
Lord of the Rings.
Boy, when I was young, I really loved those. I probably read those books 6 or 7 times a piece. Maybe that was then, but I also enjoyed the movies. We'll say geeky for that.
Walking Dead.
That's on television, right? That's zombies, right?
I would guess that's a game over.
That's a game over.
Yeah, that's zombie apocalypse TV show.
Now, I like zombies as much as the next guy, I guess, but no, that's game over.
Harry Potter.
That would be a game over. I started reading that first book 5 or 6 times because everybody told me how great it was, and it just didn't stick with me.
River rafting.
Yeah, well, I went river rafting once and the raft sunk, so I ended up floating down the river for miles. So that was certainly a great experience to have a memory of, but something I wouldn't want to do again. So we'll call that a game over.
For your own health and safety?
Yeah.
Last of all, camping.
Camping. Oh, you know what? I love the outdoors. I love being in the outdoors. I love coming home at night, and my wife loves camping, and she'll take the camper, the trailer, I'll set it up for her, and sometimes she'll stay up for a week, and I'm going up there and spending time with her, but coming home and working every day, because I'm just kind of a workaholic, I guess, and so I'd say that's game over, even though I love everything about it, except the staying day after day in the camp trailer.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to love camping, but as I've gotten older, camping is something I do to remind myself of good I have it at home.
A shower, a comfortable bed.
Okay, well, why don't we continue on with the rest of our interview here. If someone was interested in Joshua Tree Technologies, what would be maybe some of the skill sets that you look for in employees, and do you allow for remote workers to be a part of the team?
I guess I should answer the question in 2 different ways, one for our product development business and one for our manufacturing business. In product development, the people that work for us are people that I've sought out. They're ex-employees of mine, people that work for me for 20 years or 10 years or whatever. They're kind of the cream of the crop, or they're people that I know by reputation, and I got to know them through mutual acquaintances of people that I respect. So they are truly a select group, and pretty much I'm going to seek you out. You know, we're not typically hiring from resumes or doing a job search, because I only, you know, one of the nice things about having your own company is I always say that I have to work here too. And so what I mean by that is I choose people to work in our company that I like working with. And that means they're competent and capable, but it also means they have character, that they have ethics, and that I like working with them on a personal basis. And so it's kind of hard to break into that, I guess, in reality. But if you're the right person, I'll probably come looking for you. You know, a lot of our people they're contractors. And so some of them are perhaps they're a little more experienced and they don't want to stop working. They don't want to retire, but they'd love to not have a 9-to-5. They want to work in a more flexible way. Well, I know the people that work for me, and when one of them is getting to that age, I've probably contacted them if I think they'd be great for us. And they probably they probably do work for us. So that's an interesting situation that's a little different than most companies. Most of them do work virtually. They work at a distance. They work in their own homes. They live where they live. The manufacturing business is different because here we're looking for local people who can come in and manufacture something, run the equipment or just solder or turn screws and use hand tools or whatever it is. And probably the first thing we look at, you know, we do a lot of circuit board work and there's a lot of soldering. And soldering is a skill that most people in this area really haven't done much of. And so we actually have these test circuit boards that we've developed with lots and lots of parts on them. They do nothing except they have a lot of parts on them. And we'll have somebody come in if they're interested in working here and we'll give them a soldering iron and we'll show them a video or we'll give them a few pointers about how to do it. And then we'll let them just start soldering these tiny little microscopic, almost microscopic surface mount parts on these circuit boards. And of course, they're terrible at it. But we'll let them do it for a few hours. And what we've learned is that people either have a knack for this, they've got good hand-eye coordination and they have hands that don't shake. And maybe they'd be great brain surgeons. I don't know. But some people right off the bat can solder far better than others. And, you know, we tend to hire those people that just seem to be good at it. And then it takes a lot more training to turn them into a solder technician. But we start out by just seeing if they have a natural aptitude towards it. And if they do, you know, we'll train them. And we, as time goes on, if they have the aptitude, pretty soon they're running the automated equipment. And maybe, you know, there's no limit to this. They can become very significantly educated or experienced technicians who are doing programming of robotic equipment and doing some things that are very complicated. Or other people are just happy. They just want to solder. They don't want to do all that demanding stuff. They want to solder. I just had somebody here that we just started a couple days ago, and she said, I don't know why, but I'm loving this. And there's a certain craftsmanship that goes, as technological as it is and as much it's manufacturing and we've got to get it done and the quality's got to be this perfect, et cetera, et cetera. There's a certain amount of pride of craftsmanship that goes into that work. So we're looking for somebody who can do work on a very small scale and has a knack for it. And maybe 50% of the people that come through the door can do that. And we're looking for somebody who actually will take that pride of ownership and feel like they're making a piece of art. They're more of a craftsman than a production cog in a wheel, so to speak. And then some of those people will graduate towards being more on the computer programming of the equipment side, depending on what their interests are and what their capabilities are.
I think that kind of leads me into the next question I wanted to ask. What have been some of JTT's greatest challenges while growing the company there in Castledale?
The greatest challenge for us is definitely sales. And that's a challenge for a couple of reasons. A lot of people think that we would have difficulty because of how virtual and separated we are, that would interfere with us getting projects done, our development work. But the fact is it doesn't really slow us down at all because we have such great tools these days. We've got in this area great internet access. We've got such good tools for video conferencing or for collaboration, and that doesn't really present much of a problem. Not to mention the fact that even more traditional companies that are not intentionally virtual in nature, it's just kind of the way the business is being done these days. People with great talent in terms of technology, they don't feel like they have to necessarily relocate to come to your company anymore. And this has been multiplied by 10 because of COVID. Now these people really don't see any reason they have to come to be at your headquarters to work on a product development team. And so that is not really a problem. The problem that we do have because of our remote location is that we don't get a lot of word of mouth. We're not known by all the vendors in a particular area. When I worked in Salt Lake City or in Phoenix, there was a lot of cross-pollination. Engineers had worked for 5 different companies in town, and you got to know people through, you know, somebody knows somebody everywhere, it seemed like. And those were all good paths for networking and places where we could perhaps, through word of mouth, develop, you know, have a new client come along or whatever. In Castledale, I'm pretty sure we have the entire product development market cornered. There's nobody else. And so we're not going to be found by people who just know everybody in the industry and their location. They're not going to know us. And so we've got to do things to generate sales. And in the midst of COVID, where we couldn't go to trade shows and we couldn't go visiting people and doing sales trips and such, it becomes rather hard to figure out how to find new clients and new business. And, you know, we've done okay in those areas, but it's been hard. And plus there isn't a single salesman in our company. We're all engineers or technicians. And so it's not something we do naturally. And And then if it doesn't happen organically, we have to cause it to happen. And that's been difficult for us.
What would you say would be perhaps the
best way
to get a hold of Joshua Tree Technologies and to learn more about the company or to contract for your services?
The best way to find us is just through our website, joshuatreetechnologies.com. And from there, you get all kinds of information about us and our engineers and also our manufacturing operation, which we call JTT Assembly. And it has its own website, jttassembly.com. But those websites are linked together. So if you go to either one, you can find the other. But that's a good place to get to know us. You know, there's lots of pictures of a lot of the team members and the facility, et cetera, and a very comprehensive list of what we know and what we don't know, what we do, what we don't do. And we're a full-service firm, so when it comes to development of product, we can kind of do everything. And my goal from the beginning of this is to be a research and development resource for perhaps a company that doesn't have their own. So we can be the entire technical wing of a company, handling everything from product development to product manufacturing. And you can find all of that on our website.
Well, I appreciate that, Dale, and more or less come to the end of our interview, but I always like to ask this final question. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how geeky are you about the Utah Jazz? I know you mentioned basketball. So how geeky are you about the Utah Jazz? And then second, how geeky is Joshua Tree Technologies as far as tech companies go?
Well, on the subject of the Utah Jazz, I am a 10 out of 10. And in fact, you know, I spent half my life in the Phoenix area, and I thought, I'll just become a Phoenix Suns fan. What could be more natural? Well, it didn't work. I tried. I can't fix this. I'm just a Utah Jazz fan, and I think I always will be. So I'm a super, super fan of the Utah Jazz. Me and John Cleese, I guess, as odd as that is. But yes, I'm a big fan. The company, we are just nerds. That's what we are. We're all 20, 30 year veteran engineers. Every one of us. I always say that engineers, two things. One is, I always say that you have to be born to be a good engineer. And if you try to become an engineer because it pays well or something else, you're going to hate it and you're going to be demolished by all those people who are just born with the knack. You won't be able to succeed because it's people like me. We do this 24 hours a day and we just love it. And so that's who we are, a whole bunch of people like that. By the way, the second thing I always say about engineers is that engineers and humans are very similar. That's it. Very similar, not quite the same. And so we're a company full of engineers, which means, you know, it means what it means. If you came to a party and all of us were there and you're not technological, you're going to be very bored because we're just techie freaks and nerds. That's who we are.
Well, thanks for being on our podcast today, Dale. We appreciate that. Any parting words you'd like to say before we end?
Oh, just that I appreciate the opportunity and that we have a technological mission here where we can have technology work in this area, and we can do something we really can, I believe, because we already have to a certain degree, and we can do it to a much greater degree. I think we've shown that you can do technology in Castledale, Utah, the same technology that goes on in the big cities, and mostly what we need is people who believe it and are willing to pursue it, and it's exciting. I don't want the next nerdy brainiac like myself to come out of Emory High School, have to go away for 35 years and live somewhere else. If they want to be here, it should be possible. And if I can be one of many people who contribute to that, then that'll be something worth doing that I'd be very proud of.
Well, that's excellent. And I think that speaks to kind of the Southeast Utah message that I think people can do whatever they want to and still live here in this area. So that's much appreciated that you echo that same sentiment.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.